It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
All right, what's going on, BR365 community? We got a topic that is long overdue. Now, I have covered aspects of this throughout my podcast, through the content I create on social, in one of my private online Facebook communities. I'm always talking about this stuff, but perhaps you haven't had the opportunity to get a deep dive into a topic of this nature. But this is really important because a lot of people are struggling to not only get in shape, but to stay in shape. And that's the biggest thing. If you look across the board, how often do you run into someone or know of someone, maybe yourself included, that has lost 10 or 20 pounds 3 or 5 times over? Now, when I say that, the same 10 to 20 pounds, because what happens naturally and commonly is they put that weight back on because the weight they lost and how they did it wasn't sustainable towards a lifestyle of a normal human being, okay? So if this is a narrative that is very common in society, which it is, right? The way I like to put it, and I've heard this from other podcast experts as well, which I really love how they say it, is the idea that we don't necessarily have a weight loss problem. We have keeping the weight off problem. And that's very appropriate because, like I said, it's not very difficult for someone to lose 10 or 15 pounds if they're dedicated for 3 months, right? They're eating healthy, cutting some calories, moving more compared to what they used to be doing, which was eating a lot of processed foods, over-consuming foods, and not doing anything, being very sedentary. Now, you take that person and you give them a little bit of activity, you give them more movement, you give them more steps, you give them a healthier, you know, food base, and guess what happens naturally? You lose some weight. It's like typically when you see someone who jumps to a vegan diet or a carnivore diet or a keto diet, and all of a sudden they lose a bunch of weight, and they go, oh my God, this diet's incredible. No, it's less to do with the diet and more so to do with the novelty of you eating like shit and treating your body like garbage, and all of a sudden, the vegan or the keto or the carnivore or the paleo diet, for example, they removed certain foods from your diet that you were over-consuming. Typically, when you look at the carnivore diet, what is it based around? Eating a lot of meat, all meat. So what happens? You eliminate processed carbohydrates. And carbohydrates aren't the enemy here, but over-consuming processed carbohydrates, very palatable, carbohydrates are the issue, because when you eat donuts and sweets and cakes and cookies, again, very palatable, it tastes good, you want more of it, you typically don't consume one and then stop, right? It's an overconsumption. Paleo, same thing, it's an elimination of a lot of the processed foods. Same thing with keto, or same thing, obviously keto, high fat, 30 grams or less of carbohydrates. Vegan, I'm not quite sure exactly, what people are eliminating, but you're not eating a lot of processed shit, I don't think. Again, vegan would be the one I would say there's still the opportunity of that, because vegan basically just takes a lot of protein out and a lot of lean animal protein. So maybe with a vegan, you actually throw in more processed shit. But if you're doing veganism right, you're supporting it with healthy nutrients, more vegetables, more fruits. And that's typically going to equate to weight loss and a healthier portfolio of your body. So you can see that by eliminating certain foods, doesn't matter really what diet you're on or what exercise routine you're on, your body's going to look better than it did when you were doing nothing. That's why you typically see people have these, 8 week or 30 day challenge, body transformations, and they went from doing nothing and eating garbage to doing something, usually at a high rate, like 6 or 7 days of exercise, and they're doing high intensity this, or they're doing classes or they're moving their body in a very intense manner or a very consistent manner, and their body transforms. It doesn't matter if you're doing body pump, it doesn't matter if you're doing a class variation, it doesn't matter if you're strength training, doing cardio, if you're doing beach body. At that point, your body's going to adapt to the increase in calorie expenditure, right? You're burning off more calories than you were, and typically that kind of routine is complemented with eating better as well. Now you put those two things together and you get a recipe for short-term success, obviously. But what often happens, and this is why a lot of these businesses and companies and fitness programs, they bank on these challenges. Like the rest of the year, they kind of have people just exercise and they don't really change much within the person. It's good for their mental stimulation, good for, you know, social connection, good for the body just to be moving, obviously, but there's not much adaptation that actually gets created month to month. It's those 4 and 8 week and 12 week challenges where people actually see some development because they've just hyper-focused on more training volume and way less calories. Again, both things supporting less calories in than you're consuming, which is going to change how your body looks, right? So a lot of these training programs are built around that, and that's one of the problems that we're running into here. But obviously, this particular podcast episode is based around you consuming and eating in a surplus, right? Now, that doesn't mean you have to do it, you know, year round. Just like I hate the idea, and it's so stupid, people trying to cut year round and be in a calorie deficit or a perceived calorie deficit. They're terrified to increase their calories because they think that's the issue. No, here's the problem. Your training's the issue. The overconsumption of bullshit food is the issue. Those two things. If you're training for your body to adapt in a favorable manner, that's incredible for what you're trying to do. That's necessary for what you're trying to do. It's critical. It's essential. That's exactly what your training should be built around, is adaptation, right? Get your body to become more efficient. Become a well-oiled, you know, engine that burns calories automatically. That way you can live a more sustainable, healthy, nutrient-dense life. And you don't have to go into these crazy challenges just to see a little bit of a transformation for 4 to 6 weeks before you put it all back on, because you stop living this crazy, hyper-focused, calorie-restrictive, high training volume sort of life. And this is a story we can all relate to because we've seen this. We know people like this. We've probably been people like this. Hence why, you know, I built the SFR training system so people can actually train in an intelligent manner that is built around phasing and blocks of training to get you guys adapted and get your body stronger and fitter and more conditioned and more resilient. And that way we switch things up so you constantly see changes and we're not having to do these accelerated programs. Now, it doesn't mean I don't offer that. Of course I do. But that's for the people that have built that foundation and want an accelerated, you know, result over 12 weeks. But that doesn't mean the other months nothing happens. Absolutely not. We want things to happen throughout the year. That way we have a decent amount of excitement and energy towards it. We have good training adherence and compliance. People are working out because they're seeing results year round and they're not being demotivated because the only way they get the results is by being in a calorie deficit or doing one of these bullshit challenges, right? We got to make sure we're doing this thing smarter. That way we don't just have exercisers or, you know, people in this space for 8 months or, you know, every few months and they fall out, but we have consistent lifters. We have consistent trainees. We have consistent people who are actually engaged in this space year round for the rest of their life. And that should be the aim for every individual, not see it as a seasonal approach to what you do within your lifestyle. So let's kind of go into a little bit about how your body actually burns calories throughout the day. And there's four different metrics we're going to focus on, because a lot of people think, well, we burn calories through obviously what we do activity-wise and just our basal metabolic rate, how many calories our body burns naturally, automatically by just sitting on a couch all day long. Your body would burn that amount of calories. So the four ways that we have total daily energy expenditure, TDEE, One of them is the thermic effect of food. So when you eat a certain macronutrient, you actually burn calories consuming and digesting that macronutrient. Now, what a lot of people don't actually know is certain foods and different foods have a higher thermic effect. When you look at the three macronutrients, fats, proteins, and carbohydrates, protein has the highest thermic effect by far. I think it's upwards of like 30%, where fats and carbohydrates are quite low, maybe like 4% or 6%, something of that nature. So you're looking at like a 5 to 6 times more in terms of the thermic effect of how many calories you're actually burning when you're consuming protein compared to when you're consuming a fat or a carbohydrate. Hence another benefit of consuming more protein in your diet. Now, this isn't going to make up a huge amount of how many calories you burn throughout the day. Typically, research shows about 10% of what you burn through the day is through what you eat. So if you eat more protein and you're pretty high on this, you're in that near that 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, you know, you're going to probably cap out around 10% of your daily energy expenditure comes through you just simply digesting that food, right? And that's fats, proteins, and carbs. But obviously, if you eat more proteins, your thermic effect is going to be increased compared to when you are eating those processed foods and a lot more high fat, high carbohydrate diets, okay? Next one, we have NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is basically what you do throughout the day without really thinking about it. So if you're cleaning the house, if you're washing your car, if you're getting groceries, if you're going for walks, if you're kind of just doing whatever you do on a day-to-day basis that just kind of happens, that's your NEAT, okay? So you're not exercising, it's not very intentional, it's just you living life, and it shows around 15% of your total daily energy expenditure is NEAT. So it comes through you just doing stuff throughout the day. Then you obviously have your exercise activity thermogenesis, the acronym EAT. So this is the amount of calories that you actually burn through exercise. Research shows around 5%. For someone who's a little bit more active, you can go upwards of 15 to 20% through your total daily expenditure. You know, when I have my little Garmin watch, I'm gonna see if it actually comes up here. But it tracks how many actual calories I burn through the day, and that comes through my basal metabolic rate, which we'll get into, and then also how many calories I burn through exercise. So I just added it to my Garmin here, the one of the widgets, so I'm curious to see what I'm at so far, because I already exercised today. So the rest of the calories I burn throughout the day would come through my basal metabolic rate and also NEAT, and obviously my thermic effect of food. So right now, oh, what am I looking for? Heart rate, steps, come on. I'm very curious. So my workout today, just so everyone knows, consisted of weight training, okay? So I was in there for about an hour and a half or so. And again, with proper rest periods, it was a strength session. So everything kind of was on point there. So yeah, I'm definitely have my calories up. I just don't know why my phone's not, my Garmin's not showing it. Okay, here we are. Beautiful. So active. Now this would consist of my workout plus obviously my NEAT so far, but I'm at a 401 calories burnt. Okay. And that's not going to get any higher from exercise, but it would obviously increase the active from walking around and the NEAT that's going to be experienced over the next 8 hours or so. So you can, you know, surmise from that, maybe about 300 to 250 calories were burnt through my exercise, my actual exercise activity thermogenesis. So not very high if you really break down the volume of it all, right? And then obviously we have our basal metabolic rate, which right now is at 1,095 calories. So by me just kind of existing, doing my thing so far, I'm at 1,000 calories. Now the average person is upwards of, you know, 1,200 calories per day, around that. That's how many calories that their body is going to burn, even like 1,000 calories per day only, just to kind of live, right? So if you think about it, not very much. I can get upwards around, you know, 1,800 calories, I think kind of even like, you know, low 2,000s of what my body burns on average based around the amount of lean muscle tissue I have. So the more lean muscle tissue you have and the healthier your body fat composition, the more calories you're going to burn. Now, that is equated big time on how much muscle you have. You can have a 6% body fat, but your a dude who's 6'2 and 130 pounds, like you're a scrawn bag. Well, that's not necessarily going to boost a bunch of, you know, calories burnt on its own because you have very little muscle mass and you just have low fat percentage. For me, I have a decent amount of obviously lean muscle tissue, and muscle, very expensive tissue. It's very, you know, highly metabolically active, so it requires more calories to be maintained. So I'm burning calories at a much more efficient rate than the average person, obviously, hence why my basal metabolic rate can be quite high. And typically they show around 70% of the calories that you burn throughout the day, 70% is coming through your BMR. So it just shows that if we break it down, your NEAT's about 15%, your thermic effect of food is about 10%, your EAT, your exercise activity thermogenesis, is about 5 to 15%, and your basal metabolic rate is 70%. So at this point, would it not make sense to get the basal metabolic rate, the thing that is the biggest, largest chunk of what you burn throughout the day, very high? Like, that's where you should be putting a lot of your time. But a lot of people say, screw my basal metabolic rate. I'm not going to focus on increasing my BMR, right? Because they don't. They go to the gym and they exercise, or they go to classes and they exercise. So they're not building muscle. They're just doing things that are good for their heart and good for getting out and moving their body. Not bad stuff, but they're not creating physiological adaptation. They're not putting on lean muscle tissue. And when you don't increase lean muscle tissue, you're going to be a lot slower in increasing that basal metabolic rate. Now, you might exercise, burn off some body fat, but maybe you're doing it the wrong way where you're actually losing half body fat, half muscle. So you're not really doing yourself much of a favor, right? Some people are doing themselves a disservice through that, right? Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to be healthier and have a faster basal metabolic rate than someone who does nothing and they have like a 35 to 40% you know, body fat percentage. You might have like 25%. Obviously, you're going to burn more calories at rest than that individual. But imagine you could actually, you know, program your body in a way where it builds a lot of muscle tissue. Now it automatically becomes this high burning fueling system where you're just burning through calories throughout the day, which means your body needs more calories to be maintained at that weight, which is phenomenal. That's more lifestyle friendly. Right? And that's what we're trying to get to, get people to the point where they can live life. They can eat a good amount of calories throughout the day, 2,400, 3,200, you know, depending on your height and weight, and not gaining any weight. Like, that's the space we need to get to for people. For the most part, people are stuck with very low amounts of lean muscle tissue. Their BMR is quite low. Like I said, some people around 1,200. So anything above that, now obviously we throw in the NEAT, we throw in the thermic effect of food, we throw in the EAT, maybe we're up to 1,600 to 1,500 calories that they're burning throughout the day. And then anything above that is technically a calorie surplus. Okay, well, that's a little bit scary if you're not actually sending the signal in the gym to build muscle, but you're in a calorie surplus. What's going to happen at that point? Well, you're definitely not going to be building muscle because you're not sending the proper signal. You're doing cardio, you're doing high intensity sessions, you're doing class-based sessions that don't have any progressive overload attached to it. There's not progressive resistance training. It's just showing up and doing stuff. Well, now we're in a very tricky spot of how our body's going to adapt. So what you want to do, and a lot of people say, I don't know how I can be gaining weight. I'm only eating 1,500 calories. I'm only eating, you know, 1,300 calories. Well, maybe you're only burning, because of your low lean muscle tissue, a lean mass, you might be only burning 1,100 calories per day. Your exercise, you think you're burning off 600 a day. Realistically, those things are usually, you know, jacked up on the treadmill. You're not burning 600 calories during your classes. You're probably burning somewhere, if you're lucky, 350 to 400. So now you're around 1,500 calories. Your NEAT equates for about, you know, 10% of that, which isn't very high. That's another 150 calories, or at 1,600. And then your thermic effect, you're not eating a lot of food, and you're not eating a lot of protein. I know that for the majority of people. That's the first thing I got to completely rip apart when I see individuals, is get them to eat way more protein. So they're not burning a lot of calories through the food they're eating. So maybe they're capping off at 1,650 throughout the day. And anything above that, which isn't very hard considering, you know, you have a couple drinks and you have a meal out, is going to get you to 1,300 calories. And boom, before you know it, you're easily in a calorie surplus. It's that simple, especially when you start going out and you have parties and you have events and you have get-togethers. Like, you're like, a piece of cake is going to be 300, then you're going to drink something, you're going to eat something. Like, it's a recipe for people to not get the result they want. They're in a very tough predicament where if you look at my situation or someone with a lot of lean muscle tissue, if I'm burning 2,200 calories or 1,800 calories upwards just through existing, right? And now on top of that, I can add the exercise activity thermogenesis, which is going to be around 10% of my 2,300, right? Or 2,200. So another 180 or 250 calories on top of that, right? So now I'm around 2,400 calories of, you know, calorie or daily energy expenditure, sorry. I throw my NEAT on that, so another 15% of the 2,500. So we're upwards of another 300 calories there. The thermic effect, I eat a lot of protein. We're at 10% of the 2,300 or 2,400. So that, again, that's another 240 calories. Before you know it, what I need to maintain my weight is like 3,200 calories. And I'm 175 pounds. I'm not that heavy. How many of you are listening to me talk and you're more than 175 pounds, female or male, or you're just below it, you're 140, 150 pounds, or maybe you're listening to this and you're 250, 300. There should be no reason for you not to be eating the same amount as me and not gain weight. I'm 176 or 75 pounds, eating upwards of 3,200 based around all those different ways to actually expend energy, and I'm not gaining weight. I maintain 9 to 8% body fat. I have a six pack. I look strong. I feel healthy. Obviously, when I'm able to eat 3,200 calories, guess what? I get a lot of energy. I get a lot of abundance, a lot of nourishment throughout the day, a lot of sustenance, right? I'm able to eat a ton of food, but my body's so good at burning off calories naturally, let alone if I add in a little bit of exercise, let alone the NEAT of me getting my 10,000 steps along with whatever else I do throughout the day, then the protein that I consume. You can see how I'm in a much better position to go on vacation, to go to a holiday event, to go to a gathering, to go to a barbecue, to go to a beach and a lake, eat the foods I want to eat, be a little smarter with what I'm doing. It's not very hard to consume 2,800 calories in a day. Like, that's me enjoying life and really just not being a jackass with it. You know, like, it's hard to consume 35 or 4,000 calories. Believe me, it's not easy. That takes real, like, discipline and real structure. Now, if I'm eating Big Macs and I'm eating Krispy Kreme donuts and I'm drinking sodas all day long, yeah, I can consume 2,000 calories pretty quickly, basically in a serving within an hour. But if I'm eating normally, which we all should be, that still gives me a little wiggle room if I do want to have the hot dog on the bun, right? Or if I do want to have an ice cream cone at the beach, or if I do want to have a piece of birthday cake. Like, it's not going to be an issue for me, right? If I really needed to, you know, it always comes down to weekly energy expenditure anyways. I'm not so focused on the day, I'm focused on the week. You know, what's my average calorie expenditure throughout the day per week, right? That's what I'm really focused on. So I can always make that up as well. So that's where I'm in a really great spot, where the majority of you are listening to this, you're eating 1,500 calories, wondering why the hell you're not losing weight and burning off body fat. If I was eating 1,500 calories based on what my total daily energy expenditure is, which is close to about 3,200 calories, I would be ripped. I'd be down like 4 to 3% body fat. I'd be feeling like garbage. I wouldn't want to eat 1,500 calories. So God bless you if you can actually do it and not feel like you're dying. But that means your body is just so adapted to that way of living, which kind of sucks too, because now you're at the mercy of 1,500 calories. You're definitely not consuming a healthy, nutrient-dense diet at that point as well, right? If we want to do the math on it, let's do it. Let's do it. We got a podcast here. This is long form education, so let's do it. So let's say you're eating somewhere of 1,500 calories because you're like, you do the math behind it. You're like, well, okay, well, I'm technically throughout my NEAT and my thermic effect of food and my basal metabolic rate and my EAT, my exercise activity thermogenesis, I am burning off about 1,600 calories a day. So if I eat 1,500 or 1,400 calories, I'm in a calorie deficit. Perfect. I'm going to lose some weight. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. 1,500 calories. Now, if we want our protein, now let's just say you're at about 130 pounds, pretty average person we're talking about. When you're in a calorie deficit, you definitely want your protein to be quite high, around 1 gram per pound of body weight, to make sure that we actually don't compromise and break down muscle tissue. We want to support and keep all the muscle tissue because we know how important that is. So if we're 130 pounds, that means 130 grams of protein, 4 calories per gram of protein. So right there, 130 times 4. So we're at 520 calories of protein with a 1500 calorie diet. So that leaves us with 980 calories left over for protein, or so for carbs and fats. Okay, so at that point, we're gonna wanna have, you know, upwards around 200 calories of carbs, which gets us to, oh boy, that's gonna put us in a position, 800 calories right there. So that's 1320 out of our 15. So again, we have only 180 calories left over. 180 divided by 9, 20 grams of fat. No, that's not gonna do. No, why? Because 20 grams of fat is way too low. So now we gotta increase that fat to about 40 grams, let's just say. So we're doubling down to 40 times 9, 360. On top of that, so now something has to give. We're gonna leave our protein the same at 130 because it's so important to keep muscle tissue. But now our carbs that we're at 200, which is pretty moderate. It's not high at all. That's gonna have to go down to maybe 150 now. So you can see that we're gonna have to really play the game of what we're eating, what we're not eating, and all of a sudden, even 40 grams of fat's quite low. I eat around, 75 to 100 grams of fat. Fat being an essential macronutrient to keep us alive, very, very important for us to consume in terms of mental cognition, cellular function, just how our body contracts and moves and feels. So, so important, skin health, bone health, all that good stuff. So you can see we really have to get creative, and something's going to have to give. Either we're going to have to go more low carb, or we're going to have to go low fat, and something's going to suffer because of that. You can see how it's not a sustainable way to live. So obviously this episode is based on you eating a calorie surplus. So I think I did a pretty good job of showing you that, hey, we're screwing ourselves with this approach. You know, you having this low BMR is putting you in a position where you have to eat basically somewhere around, and remember, if we're talking about you, and I'm giving you a little bit of a push here, saying that you burn 1600 calories per day throughout everything you're doing, right? Maybe it's 1750, maybe, with all those four things on point. So now you have to be eating typically within, if we do the math behind 3500 calories is a gram, or sorry, 3500 calories is a pound of fat. Well, each day, if you're at 1600 calories is what your body burns altogether. Well, let's just say we go into a modest 300 calorie deficit, which is 1300 calories per day. Well, if we need 3500 calories to lose 1 pound of fat, let's do the math of how fast that would take us. Well, if we're in a 300 calorie deficit every single day, 1600 to 1300, we do 300 times 7, which is a week, 7 days in a week, that gives us 2,100 calories. Now we move that on to 2 weeks, that gives us 4,200 calories. So we should lose about a pound in 2 weeks. 1 pound of fat in 2 weeks at 1,300 calories. How sustainable is that? Not very sustainable. It's not sustainable, nor is it healthy. It's high stress environment. Remember, when you're in a calorie deficit, and you're having to exercise a lot to keep that 1600 calories based on our exercise activity thermogenesis, what the hell happens then, right? Our performance suffers. We're in a very high intense state. Our body's in a stress state. When we're in a stress state, our metabolism slows down. So our BMR, which might have been at 1200 calories, actually gets lower and slower because we're only consuming so many calories. Our body has to become more efficient at preserving calories. So we're naturally gonna stop burning calories at rest as much as we were before. Just like if we were having someone eat 800 calories a day, the body's gonna dramatically slow down its BMR because it can't afford for you to burn off 1,000 calories if you're eating 800, because now we're down to 600 and we're in a very, unhealthy position to live. So our body's going to have to get really creative to slow the natural metabolic functions down to say, hey, this person's in survival mode. We can't afford to have a very high BMR. So now you're in a lot of trouble here. So this is the exact reason I push people to be in a calorie surplus. Now, the biggest reason when I say calorie surplus, that means eating more than you're burning off. The reason being, and here's the big one, guys, listen closely. To get the body to adapt and have a faster metabolism, a higher, more efficient basal metabolic rate, we need to build muscle. When you go to the gym and you're actually following a well-written, well-programmed, well-structured muscle-building strength routine, you need the building blocks, food, proteins, amino acids, calories to actually build muscle. If I go to the gym and I lift the way I lift, but I only consume, we'll go back to the example that we just used, 1,300 calories, I am not building muscle. I cannot support my body to the degree to actually increase muscle tissue. I'm not giving my body the building blocks to do so. So it's not going to build muscle. It just isn't going to do it. At that point, I am in a dramatic, especially for me, 3,200 calories is my total daily expenditure, energy expenditure, that at 1,300 calories, about 1,900 calories less than what I need to maintain my 176 pounds, there is 0.000% chance I can gain muscle with that amount of calories, let alone 1,800 calories, let alone 2,500 calories, unless I stop with the exercise activity. But I'm not gonna build muscle if I don't exercise, so you can't do that. I have to keep the energy, you know, expenditure through exercise because I need to send the signal to build my basal metabolic rate. Maybe I slow down my NEAT and I stop walking, right? I stop doing shit around the house so I don't burn that extra 15% of calories. That extra, if you break it down, extra 400 calories through my NEAT, I just stop doing. Like, what are we talking about here, right? My body, to build muscle tissue, needs anywhere between 3,500 to 4,000 calories. To build muscle, how many calories are you eating? You know, you're not eating a good amount of calories. You're in a position, you're eating very low, and you're stuck in the example that we just highlighted about 5 minutes ago. So what we need to do is get your body to one, train in a manner that sends a signal to build muscle tissue. You need to train in a manner, in a fashion that says, we're trying to grow muscle. We're trying to get stronger. We need more muscle fiber recruitment. We need more muscle fibers in general to move the weight that we're trying to move in the gym. Okay? That's the first thing. So if you're not training in that manner, you're not going to build muscle. Let's call spade a spade. Guys, this is not a podcast for you to feel good about yourself. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it empowers you to go, oh shit, I actually have real resources to apply to my life now, and I have knowledge and education that's going to help me get to where I want to go. But if you're not there, I'm not here to, you know, go around the truth. And, you know, I'm here to tell you exactly what you need to do. And if you're not training in a manner that's actually conducive to you building muscle tissue, you're not increasing your basic metabolic rate, you're not increasing or speeding up your metabolism, and you're going to be in a position that's really hard for you to put on more lean muscle tissue. It just is what it is. So for one, you need to train in a manner that is supportive of actually building muscle, which typically you break it down, you know, traditional strength training, traditional bodybuilding principles. Again, that's what the SFR system is there for you guys. If there's something that you want to take a look at, 4 different training blocks to pick from: foundations, physique, strength, power, and performance. Each one of those is built around you getting a physiological adaptation of strength and muscle in a faster metabolism, okay? 100%. They're conducive to that. Now, on top of that, when you're training in that manner, and you want to build muscle tissue, you got to be in a surplus. You got to be in a calorie surplus. Here's the good news, right? We went through what your current basal metabolic rate is. We went through what your potential exercise activity thermogenesis is, your NEAT is, your thermic effective food is. Okay, off the bat, you could probably start building some muscle with a complete new training method, something that's a little bit novel, which this would be, and then eating around 2,000 calories, upwards of 2,500 calories, and going from there and seeing how many more calories you need. If you're not gaining weight, if you're not building muscle, if you're not getting stronger, those are all signals and signs that, hey, we're probably not eating enough. But again, if you have the fear, and this is where we got to highlight the mindset and the psychological aspect of this. If you think eating food is detrimental to your goals, if you think eating more calories is going to put on fat, you're stuck. You're never going to get out of where you're going. You're always going to have these issues. And the way I look at it, if you keep doing something that isn't working for you, and you have to do these big calorie restrictions and do these challenges just to see your body get stronger, look better, look more defined, fill out, actually build a muscle belly, your plan's not working. You should be able to go into the gym, work out in a normal, typical fashion, eat a nutrient-dense, high-protein diet without having to restrict your body and be in a stressful state, and you should see your body composition improve. You should see some fat loss early on, and you should see some muscle gain. So typically, you might even see the scale not move at all because you put on 3 pounds of muscle and you lost 3 pounds of fat. So it equates to the same body weight. But so what? Say you don't lose any body fat and you're strength training and you're eating in a surplus and you put on 5 pounds of muscle. What's going to happen to the scale? The scale is going to go up 5 pounds. But guess what happened? Your scale went up 5 pounds, but you have a lower body fat percentage. So you have a healthier lean body mass. You have more muscle on your body. You have less fat, total fat on your body percentage-wise, because you gained 5 pounds of muscle, but you had the same amount of fat. You see how that works? So this is something that's so damn important for you to realize, that if the scale goes up and you're eating the right way, eating good whole foods, your protein's high, and you're training in a manner that's conducive to strength training, you want the scale to go up eventually. And if it doesn't, that's okay. If it stays the same, that's fine. But if you're losing weight, that's where we're probably having a bit of an issue, right? And it might feel great for the first 2 or 3 weeks. You're like, oh my God, I lost weight. I'm doing all the stuff Brandon said. But you're probably not doing what I said. And it's probably going to stall out. Maybe there is this nice little exchange early on where you put on a pound of muscle and you lose 2 pounds of fat. Yeah, then the scale will go down by a pound, obviously. But that's not going to be, linear. It's not going to go on very long. So you might experience that first 4 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe, I don't know. But it's not going to be something that you're going to constantly see month to month. Eventually, that's going to stall, and it's going to be more about you getting stronger, more about your performance increasing, and more about you putting on lean muscle tissue. Let me tell you a quick little story. Started dating Melanie about 2.5 years ago now. She left a class, group style training environment. She liked it. A lot of fun for her. Definitely interactive. All good stuff that way, right? But she wanted to build muscle. She was 106 pounds, bit, of the skinny, lean girl, right? Not much muscle tissue. She was just kind of like skinny and lean. No hate on that. But she's like, I want to put on muscle. And we had an honest conversation. It was like, hey, well, you got to start strength training in a manner that's actually conducive to you building muscle tissue. It's just that simple, right? Like, you need to train in a way that science and the experts in the industry has, made this very clear for how to put on muscle tissue. You need progressive overload. You need progressive resistance training. You need to increase weight. You got to do some barbell training. You got to push it. You got to lift in a way to actually, you need rest periods. You need more food. You need less cardio and less high intensity workouts. All very staple aspects of building muscle tissue. 2.5 years later, she's about 12 to 14 pounds heavier. Muscles completely shifted. Her butt from 2.5 years ago to today, huge, huge difference, right? Like just a massive difference. She actually has muscle now. She's strong. She was deadlifting like 95 pounds before. Now she's in the 200s. And she's gone, she put on weight. So let me clarify. She put on 14 pounds, but it's been good. Her body doesn't look 14 pounds fatter. No, most of it is lean muscle tissue. So her body fat percentage probably went down a little bit. And then even if it didn't, even if it stayed the same, right? Which it didn't, because, you know, it's just not going to happen when you put on lean muscle tissue. Her body looks better, looks stronger. She's healthier, right? Digestion for her is better. Her skin's better. She's eating more nutrient dense, higher calories throughout the day. 118, 120 pound female is eating 22 to 2400 calories and not gaining weight. Pretty damn good position to be at. For her to gain weight because she has that muscle tissue, her basal metabolic rate is quite high, that she needs about 25 to 2600 calories to start putting on weight. Imagine you were in that position. How does that sound to you? That you could eat potentially 1100 calories more than you're eating right now and maintain your weight and have your body look better and have less fat, more lean muscle. Like, you're winning across the board. You're not in a stress state anymore. 1,300 calories, 1,500 calories is a stress state for most people. It's not sustainable. It's not good. And as you age, by the way, if you're listening to this and you're someone who's 35 plus, as you age, your muscle tissue starts degrading. Welcome sarcopenia, right? How do we fight against that? Well, we need to build muscle. We need to actively pursue the goal of building more muscle tissue to fight off the natural degradation of muscle tissue. So if we just exercise in a random fashion, better than doing nothing, obviously, it's healthy for you. But at the same time, are we here to simply live in a mediocre-ish lifestyle? Or are we here to combat natural bouts of aging? And for me, strength training, power training, muscle building training is that way we reverse aging. If not, you're going to end up being this person who's 55 or 65 or 75 and notice, wow, I'm losing muscle tissue at a rapid rate. My testosterone's decreasing. I'm not as strong. I'm much more vulnerable, much more fragile, have a lot more joint pain. Do you want to be there? No, of course we don't. So we need to do what we can do, what we have control over, and combat this natural aspect of aging with how we train and how we eat and what we do to actually increase our anabolic hormones and with that increase our metabolism. So this has been a chunk. It's been a lot for us to digest. Go back, listen to this podcast again if you have to. But again, this is what we need to do. So if you're always in that deficit, you're back to what we talked about 15 or 20 minutes into this podcast. You're in a very tough state of really only seeing change where you're in a dramatic calorie deficit, which is very high stress, very unhealthy for the body. If you're a female, not good for your hormones at all, not good for you. You could at that point probably be missing your periods, so you're having, you know, irregular periods at that point. You have skin issues, hair issues, nail issues. That's what a slow metabolism does. That's what it supports, right? Hormones all out of whack. Not a good place to be at, ladies. Guys, too, if you want a low libido, if you want a low sex drive, you want low motivation, low ambition, low muscle tissue, go ahead and, you know, keep going down the path where you're eating low and you're not training in a manner that's conducive to strength training. Eventually, you got to say, hey, I got to trust the process. I got to trust the science. I got to build my body up. I need to eat in a calorie surplus, because if I don't, if I strength train but I still eat low, I will not build muscle. Muscle tissue requires the building blocks to build. Going to the gym and working out is you at a construction site hammering away on wood, but you have no nails. The building blocks are what puts it together. You need to give your body the fuel sources to build. It needs the carbohydrates to support muscle recovery and muscle protein synthesis. You need the protein to support muscle recovery, prevent muscle breakdown, support muscle protein synthesis. You need the calories and the amino acids from the proteins to support all those mechanisms of growth, right? We need it. It is what it is. That's just the fact of life. If you refuse to do so, you are in a position that's going to be unhealthy, unsustainable, and in constant struggle with itself. And if you want to be someone who's living unhealthy and only sees change through doing crazy calorie restrictions and high volume of training that isn't sustainable and that leaves you handcuffed to putting on that weight when it comes to barbecue season, holiday season, birthday season, event season. Well, that's your reality, and that just is what it is. So it's so damn important that we get you in a surplus. Start small, go to a 300 calorie surplus per week, stay there for a week or two, pair that with proper strength training methods, see how the body adapts. Trust me, this is what I'm dealing with right now with the SFR community. We're about fourth month of that online, Facebook group community, and everyone's buying the programs, obviously, whenever they want. But the OGs of it, we're about 4 months in, and this is the conversation we're having. I'm getting them out of the framework of so focused on the scale and more so focused on getting stronger, eating more, supporting your training with fuel and recovery. And I'm so excited. I'm already getting good feedback in 3 months in, and we haven't even touched the surface of what real strength training is going to look like. We're talking about, we got a strength block coming up, we got a power and performance block coming up, we got a physique block built around you sculpting and shaping your body. Like, give me a break. I cannot wait to see that supported. And that's going to be my success, because the people that are listening to what I'm saying and applying what I'm saying, their success is my success. We're going to build a much healthier environment, community of people, and it's only going to grow. So I'm very excited to see that. But yes, guys, eat in a surplus. Don't be afraid of it. The way I like to put it, get in a surplus or at least around maintenance, that 2,000 mark, 2,200 calorie mark, 8 out of the 12 months a year. If anything, 2 to 4 months of the year in a cut, in a calorie deficit, plenty. Plenty to transform your body and get those abs and get those sculpted muscles shaped and really kind of like, quote unquote, toned and defined and sculpted. But most of the time, build, right? And then put yourself in a position where you can eat 1,800 to 1,600 calories, right? For a few weeks, a month or so, burn off the body fat, keep the muscle tissue, which is so much easier to do, not be in an unhealthy state, not be in a high stress state for a long time. And then go back to building. Very simple stuff, guys. So if you have any questions, hit me up. I know this is a complex but yet rather simple process, but there are a lot of nuances to it. So if you have any questions, hit me up. Be happy to guide you through this. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.